Can you discern spiritual authority? Do you know the measure that Christ has given to those around you and possibly even through you? Well, let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us and staying with us as we go through 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 10, as you know. We're in the middle here at verse 7, and we're going to finish the chapter, verse 17, dealing with discerning spiritual authority and understanding that spiritual authority is limited and it has a sphere and a measure. And so I could ask the question, are you aware of spiritual authority? Can you discern it? Do you see it in those whom God has placed around you? You may not be able to recognize it in yourself, but you can understand the measure you have and whether you have an entrance somewhere, whether God has given that to you, or you're just going to push your way in with your own soulishness and make this happen. This chapter, actually, chapter 11 as well, and chapter 12, have a special place for me. I remember back in 85 and 86, some things coming to a great understanding in my heart concerning spiritual authority. And these three chapters of 2 Corinthians, 10, 11, and 12, just resonated in me. I was going down to a conference just to attend in Texas, 1986. My wife and I were driving down, and all of a sudden, I turned to my wife and I said, I think they're going to ask me to speak. And she said, really? Because I wasn't on the agenda. I had met the leaders and they knew me, but we weren't that close. And so I'm sitting out in the middle of the audience, halfway, about 1,200 people there in the meeting. And on that Wednesday, so all week, Monday through Friday, on that Wednesday, the primary leader was a very charismatic and outgoing guy. And he stands up and he says, the head of the church visited me last night. Now, I would have said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to. But he was very flamboyant. He said, the head of the church visited me last night, and Glenn Schaefer is supposed to finish this conference. Oh, I'm so glad I was warned in advance. And I took my Bible and went to the platform and taught the next 2 hours on this chapter on spiritual authority. And then finished that conference in chapters 11 and 12 because of the significance that it had in my life at the time. It has been a benchmark to a large degree in my life of understanding entrance, where you have entrance. Sometimes people go, why don't you just go deal with that? Why don't you go speak to them? And I know I don't have entrance with them. And I also know what it's like to go and have entrance. And Paul is addressing this because God actually gave him a measure to the Corinthian church, and they were resisting. And for their sake, he felt like it was important for the protection of the body of Christ to appeal to them to discern spiritual authority. Because the flesh wants to look at the charismatic, the outgoing, the best looking, the best outspoken, the most articulate, the most handsome, and all of those things that Paul was not, which often God uses the weak, meager things of the earth for his glory. And that's what he was doing in Paul. And so Paul begins here in verse 7, and he says to them, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Now listen to what he says. He's asking them a question, knowing the answer. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Well, obviously they did. They had found these false apostles, many apostles around apparently, and because Paul says, I'm not less than any of the eminent apostles, but these apostles were false apostles. And so they were going out using this title, using this means to project themselves and to gather a following, which is often the way that cults or false leaders do. They gather people to themselves. And you're going to see how Paul even warned the Ephesian elders about this when he was about to leave them over in Acts 20, around verse 28 and 29. He says, when I'm gone, there's going to be those wolves among you who's going to come forth and bring disciples after themselves. You see, this is one of the things, when you see people drawing people to themselves, having permanent connection. Now, I know that we believe and teach in spiritual fathers and spiritual sons, and there are those Tituses and Timothys that are connected more with you because you've poured your life into them. But we don't want to ever own them. We don't want to ever possess them. They're not our sons. They're the Lord's sons. Now, Paul says, I ministered to them as a father, and he was as a true spiritual son. So that's all legit, and that's all okay. But be careful when you see yourself or ourselves or anyone drawing people after themselves rather than growing them up into Christ. And we addressed that earlier in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, some say I'm of Apollos, and some say I'm of Paul, and some says I'm of Cephas. And he says, Christ divided? That's not the heart. Yet here he knows he has a measure to them that they're resisting. So he's not asking them to come after him. He's saying, go after Christ, but let the measure be open that I have been given. And so obviously you are looking at the outward appearance, which Paul did not have to appeal to them. And God intentionally used him for that reason. But he does use this thought here. He says, if you are Christ, let everyone know that so am I. So our real value is we are Christ. We're in Christ. And they were beginning to doubt even his place. Now, history tells us that Paul was a small man, could have well been bent over from his beatings and his injuries and his nights in prison and all the things that he spent. They said he was bald-headed, not good-looking. and you can imagine him coming into a place and they're going, wow, that's the guy that wrote us the letter? Man, I was expecting this. You ever talk to somebody and when you meet them, they don't fit their voice or their letter, and you think, that's not what I thought they would look like? Well, obviously that was Paul's situation, and they were people of the flesh. Corinthians were very immature and very fleshly, and they wanted to be related to successful people. You know, we do that today. People are drawn to successful people. Did you know the word success is not an emphasis in the New Testament or in the Bible? Oh, there is a place over in the Old Testament where the scripture tells us that if we keep his word, that we'll walk in prosperous or success, but it means a spiritual maturing. It means God's working through us. And yes, in that sense, we want to acknowledge that. But in the scriptures, Jesus says, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit. Fruitfulness is a biblical concept because success requires you to compare yourself with someone else. So I don't use the word success. I don't want to use the word success. Are you successful in the ministry? I don't know. I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful because this is what got the Corinthians into trouble and these false leaders as they were comparing themselves among themselves. So Paul wants them to discern his authority. So in verse 8, he says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. Now let's walk through this. He's saying, okay, even if I should take a moment and boast, which he does, he goes through this, especially over the next chapter, about his authority. He knows that authority is not his. He knows that's been given to him. All authority is delegated authority. No one has possession of the authority. He does call it our authority, but he knows, he says, which the Lord gave us. That's delegated. It's not inherent in any of us. None of us have authority. The moment we think we have authority, then we're no longer under authority, because all authority is delegated. He said the Lord gave us. And the reason he gave it to us was for your building up. It was not for your destruction. False authority is going to destroy. But I want to edify you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. And he says, I shall not be ashamed lest I terrify you by my letters. And here's where he makes a statement. He says, though his letters are weighty and powerful, his body presence is weak. Meaning what I said earlier, when he walked in the place, they said, that's Paul? That's the apostle? I don't know if we want to hang around him. He's not very appealing. He's not debonair. He's not handsome. He's not outgoing. He's not charismatic. In fact, he's not a very good speaker. I wonder how many of us would receive Paul into our churches. I wonder if we go, well, you know what? We need to get somebody else. Because you have to be mature to discern spiritual authority and receive the word. He was not flamboyant. In fact, he said, I don't even want to use enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I don't even want, lest I take away from the gospel. So not only was that natural for him, he made sure he didn't use his abilities to speak. And I know, you know, after all these decades of pastoring, we can be tempted to use our personalities. I think it's okay for us to be as good a communicator as possible, so not to distract from the Word of God. But I don't want to learn techniques on how to minister the Word. I want the Word to have the power. And I know if I'm doing things that are distracting, maybe pacing back and forth, saying, you know, or you know what I mean, and those things are distracting. Yes, you could cut that out so you're not taking away from the Word of God, but to try to become some great learned orator is grievous, because it's not in our abilities. It's in the Word and the power of the Spirit, or it's not anything at all. Oh, we can move people. I can move people with my personality. I can move people. I've learned that I know how to do that. But I don't want to do that. Doesn't mean I don't get excited. Doesn't mean my own soul doesn't respond by the Spirit of God within me. But I don't want to be soulish and use the power of the psyche and the soul to move people rather than deliver the Word of God. And this is what Paul is saying. And they said his speech is contemptible. But he said, let you know this. As I was in letter, that's the way I'm going to be when I come. Now, why does he say that? Because he knows spiritual authority will manifest when he shows up. Not because he is turning it up and that he's going to become manipulative. No, he's going to move in the power of the authority that Jesus had granted to him, not to tear them down, but to build them up. You see, true authority of the Lord that God grants, it's his, whether it's in family or civil or the church. God established each of those areas of authority. We must learn them. We must also discern Christ's authority in other people. When you share the gospel, you're going to see, as Paul talks about his authority being limited, the door was open as he labored Christ and shared the gospel and ministered. When you disciple someone, you have a measure of influence on them. That's spiritual authority. When you are receiving from others, and we need to be pouring out to people. We need to be receiving from others. We need to be pouring into others. We need those lateral influences, our brothers. We need spiritual fathers to pour into us, and we need to be pouring our life into others. Why? Because it's all about Christ. And so he knew that in his apparent weakness, God would be made strong, and therefore he didn't try to press himself, but he wanted them to see God's spiritual authority. Apparently there were those in the Corinthian church that was causing trouble. Not all of them, but some of them were. And so he identifies that when he goes through this passage here, and he says, I'm going to be as my letters are when I arrive. Verse 12, he says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's a description of what you would do if you were successful. I'm successful because I've compared myself with this one and that one, and I guess I'm ahead of this one, and maybe not as far along as this one, but I'm pretty successful. Paul said, don't do that. He said, for we dare not. We're not going to dare class ourselves. We're not going to be associated with those who do this. They're comparing themselves. They're measuring themselves. That's not spiritual authority. That is human flesh exaltation. And I'm telling you, pastoring for four decades, it is such a temptation. I've done this. I've compared myself with others. I guess everybody has. And Paul said, I dare. We're not going to do that. May the Lord convict our heart. You know, I remember as a younger pastor, when I'd go to certain places, and particularly in the maybe the denomination we were in, it seemed like people would say, other pastors come up and say, how many are you running now? How big is your church? And it was like, oh, so I got to find out. And you were categorized based on how many people you had. And I remember when the Lord began to show me His church, not the organization we call church or not this thing we call church, but the body of Christ. I thought, I'll never ask another person that question. And to this day, Lord being my helper, it's not that I don't want to know your people. It's like, I don't want to ask, how many are you running? How many you have in your congregation? That would only be helpful if we're there bringing something to you. Are we measuring? Are we comparing? But where I labor, I already know. I don't need to ask that question. And it's a measuring by success, man's means of success. And Paul says, I don't want to be associated with that. Now, when he talks about spiritual authority here, he recognizes that spiritual authority has limitations and it has measures, or metron is the Greek word. It has entrance where God gives it, not yourself. You don't just push in and knock down the door and say, man, I have authority. Paul did not do that. He knew with the Corinthians, however, that was a measure God gave him through the preaching of the gospel. God gave him that. He's not out there trying to take authority. And we need to ask ourselves, where has God given us entrance? It's the person at work that wants to know something. It's the person at work that's going through some difficulties. It's someone whom you're able to help and care and disciple and pour into. Those are areas you have entrance, where you have relationship, where you've poured in your life. Where you've measured or where you've ministered Christ. Listen to what he says here. We, however, will not boast beyond our measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Let me stop there for just a moment. He said, we're not going to boast beyond our measure. We're not going to talk about ourselves, comparing ourselves with others. No, that's not what this is about. This is about that God has given us an entrance with you, Corinth. And I'm going to talk about this because it's a sphere within the limits that God has appointed us. God gave us that entrance. I know what it's like to have an entrance. I have an entrance in the city of Claremore. I have an entrance in the city of Owosso. I have entrance in certain congregations or people through relationships. I know where I have entrance. I have entrance in some people's lives. I know that. I don't have entrance everywhere. Paul's saying the measure I have, it happens to include you. God appointed it. God gave it to me. And that's so important for us to know. You don't just go where you want to go. You don't decide, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go do such and such. No, you go as the Holy Spirit directs and opens doors through those divine connections. That's what he's done here. He was sent here to preach the gospel, and they came to Christ. He was their spiritual father in that sense. Verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. So he says, look at this. We're not overextending. We're not reaching beyond our measure. This is how we came. We came ministering Christ, preaching the gospel. Verse 15, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. He says, our boasting is not in other people's work. We don't want to do that. But when we recognize that the measure God gave us, as you grow in your faith and you preach the gospel and other people come to Christ, then our influence through those relationships is increased. There's a sphere that's enlarged. So he recognizes that God gave him an entrance and it could increase as they would respond accordingly. Not because he wanted it, but because for the work of the gospel. God works through true spiritual authority. Now, we can do a lot through the flesh, make it look grandiose, make it look successful. We can count the numbers, we can say this was what it was, but did it really produce fruit? Was it really an entrance that God gave you? Is that really the measure that you're supposed to be laboring in? And in all of this, it has to do with the gospel. For he says in verse 16, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. He said, through you, as you grow in your faith, then you even enlarge, and we end up preaching the gospel in regions beyond, not to boast in another man's sphere, but because God gave us an entrance through you. So spiritual authority is limited. It's not unlimited. No one's spiritual authority is unlimited. Paul just didn't go anywhere saying that he was Paul, their apostle. That's not what he said. He went where God gave him entrance and he labored the gospel and it brought forth fruit. And so these Christians in Corinth, he was calling them to maturity, that as they understood the measure, here's what would happen to them. They would flourish. When we embrace spiritual authority that God has given to us, we come into alignment and we flourish. And that's what he's talking to them about. They would flourish. They would be built up, not torn down, not destruction, but they'd built up and they would flourish with the gospel even in regions beyond, and it would begin to enlarge even his sphere. Guys, this is so important. This is so important. It's important for us to discern spiritual authority. It's important for us to recognize that we have a measure, we have an entrance, and to go where the entrance is. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in you. If you're pushing your own way, your own thoughts, your own opinion, you're always soulishly acting like that, then you're not going to know your measure. But if you walk humbly, saying, God, have you given me entrance? And as you do, you're going to see that's where God's going to commend you. So he wraps up in verse 17 and 18, but says, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. I like how Paul reaches over in the Old Testament and brings out quotes. He quotes Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in this I delight, says the Lord. For Paul says, for he who commends himself is not approved, but only if the Lord commends you. So it doesn't matter if I commend myself or others commend me or approve of me. It does not matter. It only matters is if the Lord commends me. Has the Lord given me that entrance? Has the Lord delegated that to us? And that's how Paul is making his appeal to the Corinthians. Let's discern and walk in spiritual authority around us today in the Word.